Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.
This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and you are officially on the couch. Welcome, everybody. So nice to have you here, as always, live on LA Talk Radio, country's number one most listened to internet stimulating, irreverent, and cool talk radio. Got a lot of great things we're going to be talking about today on the couch. When couples or individual patients come in to see me with a lot of their problems going on, I try to help them work on their communication skills. I also try and help them understand themselves and each other better. But another really important issue I work with people on is their intimacy. Now, I'm not a sex therapist. Don't do that. But, you know, I encourage them to reach out to someone who may be perfect for them as a sex therapist or something like that. But I emphasize how important it is to have that in their lives. And I try to encourage them to help find that excitement and intimacy in their lives. Many women, by the way, of all ages, I just wanted to share with you that a lot of women over 50 especially tell me they'd like to become less sexually inhibited. You know, they want to find themselves and become freer again for whatever reasons. Things get in the way. Life gets in the way. Illness gets in the way. And today, my special guest will be talking about that exact subject. Also want to share with you guys that a bit later in the show, I promised many listeners that I'd be answering their questions about relationships and self-esteem and parenting and things like that. So just hang in there, guys. We'll get to your questions that you emailed me at docmichelle@aol.com, docmichelle@aol.com. That's two L's in my name. And if you have any questions or comments for my guest today, feel free to email us because we'd love to hear from you. So let's get to my on-air guest today. Her name is Lynn Brown Rosenberg, and she's the author of numerous screenplays, two of which are currently optioned for feature films. She's also written the short film Solo and the thriller novella Breakthrough, which will soon be coming out as an ebook. She's also been interviewed by the Huffington Post, commissioned by the Sunday Times of London to write an essay on her sexual awakening. And today we're going to be talking to Lynn about her latest book. It's an erotic memoir entitled My Sexual Awakening at 70 and What Led Me Here. It's published by Salon.com. And welcome to the couch, Lynn. So nice to have you with me.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the opportunity.
Oh, it's great to have you. I've seen you on various television interviews, and you look great, by the way. You are so pretty.
Thank you.
You know?
Thank you.
And you just, you know, you really, I think, help out a lot of women with primarily the issue of their sexuality and, you know, what they need to do and your story in your book, which is your memoirs. About your sexual awakening. So can you share with listeners why did you write this book?
Well, as I was seeing myself open up, I realized I couldn't be the only person out there who had a similar experience to mine.
Yeah.
And I thought my journey could be helpful to others. And in addition to that, in the end, it served another purpose as well. It was cathartic for me.
Yes.
And the revealing and the writing broke down walls.
I bet it really did. It is cathartic to write. You know, I've heard this from a lot of authors. You know, it really helps you. And you sort of keep going, and you, especially in memoirs, it allows you to share a lot of what your feelings and thoughts are and were. And again, you're helping listeners kind of possibly make that transition that you made into finding more sexual freedom.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was, it was quite a journey.
Yeah. Yeah, I bet it was. So, I just wanted to ask you, was it a little uncomfortable for you to reveal intimate details about your sex life?
You know, it was a little uncomfortable, but what was much more difficult for me was revealing my past and my emotional life.
Yeah.
Because I was breaking all the rules by telling those truths about my family.
Yes, that's right. It's the
secrets. yes. My whole life, basically, my inner life was a secret.
Yes.
Until now.
Yay. Good girl.
Yay. That's right.
So, can you share with the listeners, you know, a little bit about what you talked about in your book, some of the psychological issues that, you know, you had to deal with growing up and some of the fears and, you know, you talk about layers of misinformation and manipulation and things like that.
Sure. Well, first of all, when I was 12, my mother gave me the talk.
Oh, yeah.
The talk.
Yes.
And it was a very clinical talk. There was no mention of love, yeah, affection, joy, pleasure.
Yeah.
In fact, it was quite the opposite. And she said it was a duty you perform for your husband.
Mm-hmm.
And as she talked, tears streamed down her face.
Wow.
And I watched her cry, and I started to cry, and I didn't know why either one of us were crying.
Right. What's that about?
And I never found out, because my parents were critical, judgmental, and intimidating.
Right.
And so my mother didn't like me asking her questions.
Right. It was, go ahead, Lynn. Mm-hmm.
That was one incident which impacted me. Another was when I was 14. And I went on a vacation with them, and they found me kissing a boy,
mm-hmm,
and told me afterwards only prostitutes enjoy sex.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my. Well, that'll scare
and,
you.
And, you know, of course that was humiliating being compared to a prostitute.
Well, yes. Yeah.
And at that point, I came to the conclusion that sex was bad and I was bad, even though all I had done was kiss a boy.
Yes, exactly. I guess their attempts to try to scare you were a little too
successful.
Scary. Yeah, exactly. So, so you're thinking, oh my gosh, I can't even kiss a boy. It's horrible. You're 14, right?
Right.
Oh,
right.
That is scary.
Right. So. And of course, the message was I had to remain a virgin until I was married. Part of that was the times.
Yes.
You know,
of course.
The time that I grew up in.
Sure.
But they were extreme, I think.
Right.
And it left me with a very negative impression of sex.
Yeah, sure it does. Exactly. So you're growing up and you're really fearful, you know, or you think
yes,
you're dirty or whatever. I think, you know, you're right. That was the generation. I mean, it's dirty. We can't talk about it. It's a bad thing.
Right.
Yeah. So you felt badly about any kind of sexual expression or even expressions of passion or romance, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I was very reserved and afraid to let go,
mm-hmm,
terrified to let go.
Yeah.
And so that was how the road to repression began.
Yes. And I know, you know, also through reading your book, you had been through relationships, but especially you and your husband. And I know he was, you know, he had passed, and sorry
right,
about that. And, you know, you had to go through that. That was difficult. But, you know, you're still kind of in that mindset of not having as much sexual intimacy with someone. You're still in that, wow, you know, keeping some of those ideas. Yes, you got married. Yes, you were a good girl and all that. But still, some of that freedom within yourself was repressed. And especially when you're dealing with a sick spouse, you're not having much sex, girl, right?
Right, right.
So,
yeah.
Yeah.
It didn't leave me when I got married. Definitely didn't. It was only when I decided, well, it had been 15 years since I had had sex after my husband died.
Yeah.
And, well, at first, I didn't want to get close to anyone. I didn't want to take the chance on going through the pain of that loss again.
Right.
And then I went through numerous surgeries, having multiple joint replacements.
Yeah.
So sex wasn't even in my thinking.
Yeah.
And then one day I realized it had been 15 years since I had had sex, and I wanted to do something about it.
Yes. Yes. Good for you.
Thanks.
Just kind of, you woke up one day and said, you know what? I'm feeling frisky. This is getting old. I'm tired.
Well, you know, I did. That's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
And, of course, I was on a medication, which didn't help any either. I was on a known sexual inhibitor.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
So I went to my doctor and my therapist and asked for a change of medication. And he said, well, we can change it, but it might not change you, you know,
right.
Because it was antidepressant medication, and
right. Boy,
they all have many
of
the same components.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
But it did change me.
Yes.
I came alive again.
Oh, good. That's great. And sometimes just by switching, you know, antidepressants, because there are a lot out there, and I'm not a big pill pusher, but truly I've seen it. There are a lot out mm-hmm. there that really, you know, don't affect, you know, your sex drive, that have the fewer side effects of that. And, you know, it's just a matter of reaching out and finding and getting a psychiatrist or GP who can help you with that. Or,
right.
You know, but, I mean, good for you. So you yes. switched that over. That helped you and then allowed you. And, you know, Lynn, I hear this a lot also from men and women about, you know, the antidepressants, other blood pressure medications, other types of medications that, you know, really are a buzzkill to our sexual libido.
Yes, you know? Yes, and so, it really made a difference for me, immense difference,
yes.
night and day. So it's worth, you know, exploring anyway.
Yes, exactly. So we're going to get in a little bit to how you would suggest some of the people who might be still stuck with negative views towards sex change mm-hmm. their thinking and change their activities. I just want to thank my sponsor today, right here on the couch. It's brought to you by CashInMyBag.com. And they want you to know a great opportunity to help you turn something. Boy, it sounds like a four-alarm fire there, Lynn, behind you.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
let me say that. Maybe it's apropos for what we're talking about.
Maybe. Wake up. Let's all wake up.
There you go. But On the Couch is brought to you by CashInMyBag.com. They want you to know about a great opportunity to help you turn something you already own into cash. Now listen, guys, it's those designer handbags and accessories stashed away in your closet. CashInMyBag.com buys designer handbags like Chanel, Louis Vuitton, Gucci, Prada, and many more. And they buy shoes and accessories, too. So simply go to CashInMyBag.com, tell them the items you want to sell, and they'll quote you a great price. If you like their cash offer, just ship insured with a prepaid shipping label that they provide, and then you get paid. Yay, it's that easy. It's better than consignment. It's for immediate cash at high market prices. And their Google reviews are amazing. So we're all moving on in life, meaning that you might have expensive items you fell out of love with, right? So they could be cashed in for new. If you're looking for authentic designer handbags, CashInMyBag.com also sells them at great prices. So visit your closet, gather up those designer handbags, shoes, accessories, get your cash at CashInMyBag.com. Spell it out, CashInMyBag.com. That's CashInMyBag.com. Thanks, guys, so much. And today, we have a great guest on the air. We're talking to Lynn Brown Rosenberg. She's the author of her latest book. It's called My Sexual Awakening at 70 and What Led Me Here. She's got a great memoirs of what happened in her life and sort of what led her to become freer sexually and feel more like the woman you always needed to be, right, Lynn?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yep.
So how can people who are still sort of stuck with negative views and you know, there's a lot of parents who still don't want to talk about sex. There's a lot of negativity mm-hmm. around it, and to guys and women, but more women. How can they kind of change their thinking and just kind of get a little more informed about these things?
Well, one thing, of course, you're a therapist. It's going to sound like this is a plug, but I think therapy is enormously helpful.
Yeah.
It was to me. And I happened to go to a doctor who was very open about sex.
Mm-hmm.
He said he's heard it all.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and
good.
he didn't plan exactly to guide me down this road, mm-hmm. but he mentioned things to me which stimulated my curiosity, and mm-hmm. I took those suggestions.
Yes.
So, you know, one of the things I did was, after I had been on the road a bit, tried a few things out, I joined a sex chat site.
Okay.
And this is the point where I started feeling free, mm-hmm. and this is the point where I actually started writing the book.
Hmm.
It was like I was coming out of myself.
Yes.
The true me was coming forward.
Yes. You were unpeeling.
And it was great fun.
Good.
It was exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And I even met a few people from there, which I didn't intend to.
Yeah.
But I met them, and I had very good experiences.
Right.
And also, I started reading and writing erotic stories.
Oh, yeah. Yes, you did.
And what that did for me, mm-hmm. Of course, it was very stimulating, but what it did for me psychologically was provide another avenue for me
yes.
to explore my sexuality.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And those things really helped in combination with, I think I was at a place where I was willing to open my mind.
Yes. And you can only get there when you're ready. Right?
Yeah.
You can't force
anybody. You can only
get
there when you're ready. Right.
You know. So you were really sort of here I am, you know, I'm a widow. I had these feelings all my life. I've had repressed issues because of my upbringing, as many of us have. And I didn't have a real great intimate relationship because my husband was ill for quite a long time. It was difficult, of course, for you. So then you said, you know what? I'm going to check into this. I'm a woman. I'm feeling my, you know, I want to sow some wild oats. I want to make up for some lost time and, you know, move on with my life. So
right.
It's a great book, The Memoirs. And it's Lynn Brown Rosenberg. It's a great, really great read. It's an easy read, but it's also fascinating because what you can do is you can sort of follow her journey. It's called My Sexual Awakening at 70 and What Led Me Here. And you're a great writer, by the way. Love the flow.
Thank you.
Really good.
Thank you.
I can see how a couple of your books are going to be screenplays soon. So,
yeah, hopefully. Yeah. Hopefully. You never know in that business,
well,
but
that's
hopefully.
That's right. Especially in this town, Lynn. You know, speaking about, you know, online chats and things like that, it's so great.
Mm.
On one hand, it's great because the internet has opened us up to so many opportunities and meeting
mm-hmm.
people and online chats and learning things. But on the other hand, you know, it's kind of scary going online to find people who you might, you know, want to meet, go out with, have sexual relationships with. So are there any dangers in doing that? Or what suggestions, Lynn, would you give to women who want to kind of reach out to meet people online?
Well, I have met some nice people and I've met some jerks.
Yeah.
And some people don't look like their pictures.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Yeah. And I have one experience to tell you about. I met a fellow. He wanted to meet for dinner. It was
mm-hmm.
his idea.
Yeah.
And he chose the place. It was Acapulco. It's another siren going by. I live near a hospital, so that's why.
There you go.
Anyway, he picked Acapulco, which is not an expensive restaurant.
Yes.
So I met him there, but it turned out that I wasn't interested in a second date with him.
Right.
And he wanted his money back for the dinner.
No, he didn't.
Yes, he did. I didn't give it to him, of course. He wanted me to send him some money for the dinner. So,
I've not heard.
My
of that
recommendation
one.
Is to meet somebody for coffee or a drink, as
yeah.
opposed to a meal,
yeah.
and then you don't get into any of those problems. If you like each other, you can always stay to eat together, and if you don't, then you've only had a coffee or a drink.
Exactly. And it's a good idea, don't you think, Lynn, to when you're meeting people online and you first start dating and talking and trying to meet people. It's a really good idea to have sort of knowledge about real deal breakers, about what these guys talk about, or, you know, how they may dress or how they may appear, and, you know, things like they're talking too much about themselves. They're not seeing like they're open to be interested in me. I mean, right? It's important to do those things.
It's, you know, I got pretty lucky because my experiences have been pretty good. Not that I've met anyone for a lasting relationship. I haven't.
Yeah.
But I've been pretty lucky. I didn't run into any crazy people, really.
Good.
Except this one guy who was a little off.
Yeah.
A little off.
Yeah.
But for the most part, the people have been okay. Just
good
haven't
for you.
Been for me.
Exactly. And it does take a long time. I mean, I tell people to be patient when they're online and they're trying to meet people. And sometimes pictures don't really give people justice. And sometimes, like you said, they lie. I mean, they're pictures from like 20 years ago. And then you see them and you don't even recognize them in the public place you're meeting. It's like,
right.
What?
Right.
Who's that? So it's, you know, you just have to be, you just have to sort of identify and screen a lot of people, and also what people are saying in their bios. There must be a big thing going on out there, out in front
God,
of
God, there
room.
Must be. This is
I
very
hope they're
unusual.
Okay. I hope
this
they're
is very
okay.
unusual.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway, it's, you know, it's, so you suggest people really just kind of take their time, and it is like, I hate to say this, but meeting people online and finally finding someone who you might be interested in, it's like shopping.
Yes. Right? Yes, it is.
Yeah.
It is. Maybe worse than shopping.
Yeah, well, you're
because
right.
Because it's difficult. It is.
Sure.
And even how someone comes off on their profile isn't always how they are in person.
Right. Right. That's right.
So I have a little warning about this may not sound nice, but I've had some experiences with foreign men, and some of them tend to be looking for money.
Ah, yes.
So that's another thing to kind of watch out for.
Sure, absolutely.
Not to say that every man who comes from another country is...
Right, a gigolo.
...does this, but
right.
It's just something to watch out for.
That's really true. No, it's really true. And you can get that in. You can pick that up pretty soon, what a guy's interested in, what they're up to, you know.
Right.
Right. And the thing is, too, is if you're, and I'm just going to be, you know, really open about this. If someone's really looking for pretty much a sexual relationship, or they're just looking to meet friends with benefits, as we call them,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You really have to be on the same page, and you have to be careful about that, too. Because, people may think that, like I've had clients tell me, these guys thought I was prostitutes, and they wanted to pay me, and they went.
Oh my God!
You know what I'm saying? I just wanted to look.
Oh wow!
Right? I just wanted to look for someone who knew that I was looking for friends with benefits, and that's it. And it's hard to do that sometimes.
Yeah, I never have heard that before. That's a new one.
Well, you're
to
lucky.
Me.
You're good. You're good. But you've learned, you know, how to screen and meet people and all that. So
I have. I have.
So
it's hard to meet that special person, though. It really is.
Well, it is, and there are, you know, they're out there.
I
always say they're out there. Don't you believe they're out there? But it does, like we said, take a lot of work to really interview a lot of people. I mean, that's what it is—an interview,
right? Right.
Yeah.
And then at my age, it's not that easy either.
Right.
That's a contributor, also.
Well, sure, of course. And, you know, it's just the way it goes in our society, I guess. But
right.
You're lovely, and you look
Thank
great.
You.
You look so young and beautiful. Really, really. So
Thank you.
That's
Thank
true.
You.
And you're a successful writer, and you're going to probably have some films going on here, and you've got other books coming out. But, you
right.
know, yeah, you're really on top of it, girl. So what
Thank
are
you.
That's true.
Thank you.
I'm very impressed.
But I'm working on a new book, not
okay.
My Sexual Awakening 2, but a murder mystery, which is fun.
Oh, that's great. That is super. Great idea. Lynn, how can some of the listeners get your book and find out more about you and the messages that you're spreading out there?
They can go to Amazon.com, mm-hmm. and they can get my book there, either in paperback or as an ebook. Mm. And if they want to know more about me, they can go to my website, which is Lynn, L-Y-N-N, Brown, like the color, mm-hmm. Rosenberg, R-O-S-E-N-B-E-R-G.com.
Great. Very cool. And this will be up in the archives, by the way, everyone. So after today, if you want to listen to the interview again and get more information and find out how to get Lynn's book and find out more about her as well, it'll be all ready to go, replay and download, as well as on iTunes for free. So there you go, guys. Lynn, you're awesome. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you. Thank you. I enjoyed it.
Oh, good. I really appreciate you reaching out and, you know, sharing a lot of your help with a lot of people. And again, Lynn Brown Rosenberg, her book is My Sexual Awakening at 70 and What Led Me Here, meant primarily for women. Women over 50.
You know what?
All
a
ages.
Lot of men are reading it, even younger men, and enjoying it. So that was a big surprise to me.
Do you know what? I'm not surprised, and good for you, because, I mean, the guys are learning.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know, young men are learning a little bit more, too, about what women...
And it gives them hope also for when they get older.
That's right. But exactly, Lynn. But it also, you know... understands women better, too, because you do talk about a lot of your feelings, mm-hmm. and, you know, your process and your experiences. So good for you, girl. Thanks again.
Thanks
for being here on the couch. You take good care, and looking forward to your next book and your film.
Thank you so much.
All right, Lynn. Take good care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. All righty. Again, the folks, the show will be up and available for you on iTunes as well, iTunes Podcast, for free on the couch with Dr. Michelle, as well as the archives here on LATalkRadio.com. And just click on my picture there, and all the archives will come up. And, you know, it's funny because I was talking last week about wanting to finish helping you with some of the emails that you had written me. And I promised that today I would do some of that as well. And I contacted those of you who I said I would answer your email. So hopefully you're listening today. And the emails came in, by the way, from docmichelle@AOL.com, docmichelle with two L's at AOL.com. So today I think we're going to talk about some of the secrets of successful relationships and how to boost your self-esteem. And if we have time, we're going to talk about how to be sort of a better person in general. So people will respect you and want to be with you. And more importantly, you'll like yourself better. Because, you know, one of the most common things I hear from people is, I just don't have enough self-esteem. I just don't feel good about myself. I don't know. I just, why don't people want to hang out with? Well, that's not true. You know, you gotta, I know it sounds tacky and corny and all that, but you have to love yourself first. You just do. You have to really take care of yourself and like that which you are. See? So, anyway, let's get to the first one here. This is from Callie. She says, Doc, I'm 26, and my fiancé and I have been together for 2 years. It seems like we get into more fights lately. We're more distant with each other. We do a lot more independent things now, although we talk every day and are together most of the week. Can you give me some of the secrets of having a better relationship? I'm scared we're pulling apart. And I hear this a lot, Callie. And that happens sometimes because we can, in our busy lives, become a little more distant from our, you know, partners. But I think, like I just said before I went into this, and I know it's, you hear it, you know, play the violins. You gotta love yourself. But unless you do, or even like yourself, let's go to like. Is love a little uncomfortable? Yeah, I thought so. So like yourself. But unless you like yourself or even love yourself, it's hard for you to believe that anybody else will. So, you know, when you truly like yourself in spite of any failings and weaknesses you feel you may have, or you might have. You know, you're always competing with that other sibling or that whatever, whoever. When you just accept who you are, you'll feel a little more confident. And that's helping you really like yourself and being okay with who you are. You know, then you can enjoy being with your partner for the joy they bring into your life. You know, see, the thing is if you have self-esteem, you really like yourself or love yourself. Not because you feel you need them to survive. because you're cool with who you are, and they just add that amazing part of bringing out the best in you as well, and vice versa. Okay? Also, you have to like your partner. What? You have to like them. Yeah, you can love them, but healthy relationships happen, Callie, between two people who really like each other. So it may be more romantic to talk about love, but it's important to remember that, you know, love's just an emotion, and it comes and goes. Right? It's true. It's okay. It's all cool. But if you genuinely like each other and enjoy being together and agree with how each other thinks and behaves and you kind of share the same dreams, keep connected that way, guys. You talked about, you know, feeling distanced. Keep it a little more together and checking in with each other in terms of your feelings. And also warm words of encouragement and support build trust and respect. You got to have your independent lives as well. You know, you got to trust. You also have to make some quality time. You talked about him doing his thing and you doing your thing. The importance of things really can be measured by the amount of time we're willing to give them. Okay? So if you don't, it sounds like you do spend some regular time together, but you can't, you know, you've got to keep connected emotionally. And that goes into communication, good communication. It's essential to have a healthy relationship, you know. It's just learn some good communication skills. Don't accuse, don't argue, use I statements, all that stuff. You got to argue well. And intimacy. You know, I was talking about Lynn Brown Rosenberg earlier about the importance of intimacy. It's not just sexual awakening. It's about being intimate, touching and loving and cuddling and all that cool stuff. So, by the way, your health will benefit because they found that being caressed, being warm and fuzzy with someone lowers blood pressure. It releases those natural opiates in the brain and oxytocin, which is essential for human pair bonding and all that stuff. So just think about that. And by the way, we all change. We all go through changes. And you know, you said that you feel like you're moving apart. Right, Callie? You said you're moving apart. Well, we all sort of go through different phases. You know, the first phase of a relationship is that, hopefully, those fireworks. Woo! We're all on good behavior and we're having great sex and it's exciting. We can't stand to be away from each other. But it doesn't mean that it's a bad thing. We change into a deeper, more loving and respectful. Hopefully that'll stay. But sometimes we go through fluctuations. And this is how you keep the relationship alive. Because if you're rolling with change, it gives you those opportunities for growth and intimacy. You know, it can be painful, too. I mean, he may be interested in something else that you're not another woman, hopefully. But, you know, you change and adapt together. There's stuff going on around us, too. You have a fiancé, so things happen in families. Things happen in work. Things happen in all these major life changes. But you have to be able to go with those changes together. And those are some of the ideas for you, Callie. And thank you so much for emailing me here. At DocMichelle@AOL.com. We're going to get to the next email. Let's see here. Yeah, this is from Justin, and it's about self-esteem. But first, I want to thank my good friends at CashInMyBag.com, my sponsors for today's On the Couch Show with Dr. Michelle. And this is the place, by the way, where you can gather up those designer purses, shoes, and other accessories you may have fallen out of love with. And you can sell them for quick cash. At CashInMyBag.com, they'll quote high prices and provide free prepaid and insured shipping labels. And you get paid right away. It's not like consignment. It's called CashInMyBag.com, where you can sell your designer purses, shoes, and other accessories. It's easy and a great way to get cash now. Classy bunch of people. And what more could you ask for? Check it out, CashInMyBag.com. Just spell it out. That's CashInMyBag.com. CashInMyBag.com. Thanks for being my sponsor on today's show. We're moving along here on the couch with Dr. Michelle. And you know what? I have a lot of great emails that I'm going to read. Because you emailed me earlier at docmichelle@AOL.com. And I'd love to hear from you if you have any other questions or concerns about relationships or things going on. Now we're going to go to Justin's email because I promised him I'd talk about his self-esteem today. Okay. Hope you're listening, Justin. I contacted you earlier. He says, I've always been the black sheep of my family. My parents clearly favored my older sister and brother more than me. I don't feel like I was ever good enough. That's tough, you know, Justin. I was always criticized for not being smart enough, driven enough, successful enough. I think that I put that out there in my relationships, too, because, oh, a lot of girls have hurt me. I think they've left me for better-looking, smarter, sexier guys. My self-esteem, or girls, when I say guys, my self-esteem is at an all-time low because another girl I was dating for about 3 months started pulling away and finally just dumped me. Wow. How can I get some self-esteem so I don't project that out there in the universe and keep attracting these people who are going to hurt me? Justin, thank you so much for emailing me, honey. I really appreciate it. And, you know, there's some basics to self-esteem going on. And what I said earlier, you got to really like yourself. You don't have to love yourself, but you have to take care of you. You got to take care of you. And we all have personal needs, whether it's whatever, going to the gym after work or taking some time alone. You've got to take time for you and take care of you. You got to stop worrying about what other people think of you. What happens a lot of times is when we're raised in families where we don't feel like we're the ones that are most important, or we're given messages that we're not good enough, we're not smart enough, we're not good looking enough. Those little messages really go deep, and we carry them with us throughout our lives. They're not true, but we embrace them as being true. You know, so we just assume that that's what other people think about us. So you have to take care of yourself first. And I always say that at the end of the show. And then you'll be, you know, great for other people. So if you feel that you have some low self-esteem because of these messages, you have to just kind of look at, you know, what happens sometimes. And the low self-esteem can really mess you up. I mean, it can create anxiety and loneliness and, like you just said, stress. And, you know, it can really mess with our heads and our lives. And the more we think about it and the more rejections we have, you know, the worse it gets. Okay. So what you have to do, some of the steps to improve your self-esteem, Justin, is you have to really rebut the inner critic. You know, you have to go back and really begin to challenge those negative messages or that critical inner voice. Challenge those messages you were given and that you bought into. Right? I mean, we all have this, ooh, I hope I was okay. I hope it came off well. Most of us are concerned about what other people's, you know, people are thinking. But I mean, when we are so obsessed with our own performance and our own, you know, how we're appearing. And you talk about, you know, some of the women you've been with are going with sexier guys and, you know, that kind of thing. It's truly sounding like you have, you know, a problem with the way you feel about yourself. So you've got to just stop that critical inner voice and just write out some things that are really positive about you. Focus on some of the things that you know about you that are really good. Right? That inner voice can really get to us. So focus on the good stuff that really challenges that inner critic. And don't interpret other people's messages or body languages as they're not approving of you. Okay? When we're not feeling good about ourselves, we interpret things negatively, no matter how benign, you know, someone else wants to be to us. So don't catastrophize. Don't say no one cares about me, no one likes me, I'm not good enough, I'm not handsome enough, I'm not... Do things to make yourself feel better. Get with a friend, a girlfriend, a guy friend, who can help you feel better about yourself. Look good. Change your haircut. Get to the gym more. Do things that'll make you feel good about you, like I said. Write down those things that you like about you. You know, and don't look so much for others' approval. Practice some self-compassion for yourself. Because if you don't do it for you, nobody's going to do it. You don't want people feeling sorry. Oh, Justin can't get anybody, because you got to have that self-compassion for you. So forgive yourself when you don't do it all. Try to be gentle with yourself rather than critical, you know, when things don't go as you'd hoped. It's really hard to do, but you've got to just practice it. And that's the thing. It's practice. You know, and recognize that you're a human Yeah, we all make mistakes. We all do things. And we have to forgive and recognize that, you know, maybe we're not the best whatever you want to be. It's okay. Find things that you're great at. All right? And I said be mindful of your emotions. You know, you've got to express how you feel. Taking, you know, more assertiveness classes gives you more power, and then you like yourself better. Right? And sometimes emotions go and stay, pass, move along. You know, don't get overwhelmed by your feelings. Just take good care of yourself and know that you are really strong in so many ways and that you have a lot of gifts to offer. And that's, you know, that's what you need to do. So I really appreciate you writing me, Justin, at DocMichelle@AOL.com. If you have any questions or comments or you'd like to, you know, ask a question from time to time on shows when I'm interviewing authors and things, I will be answering your questions just to help you out. You know, and next time I have several other emails that I'll be addressing. It's talking about just being enough in general. Because in this world, it's really hard, you know, when we're trying to compete with so many things out there and just staying focused and, you know, not getting so stressed about stuff going on in our lives. It's about that time. We've got to go. It's been great on the couch with you all. This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and I hope you have a great time, great day, great week. Thanks for listening to me. Check out the archives, which will be available up tomorrow on my webpage here on latalkradio.com. I want to thank my special sponsors today, cashinmybag.com, where you can gather up those designer purses and shoes and accessories and get cash for them. Thanks, guys, for being there for us. All right, as I always say, do take care of yourself first, then you'll be great for other people. That's the way it works. Okay, next week, more about improving your self-esteem from a very special guest on a journey to peel those onions away. Have a good one. Bye-bye.